Welcome to the Fuller Monday Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 31st of March, recording at 9:46 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And this, of course, is the last day of March, and therefore the last day of the first quarter of the year. And a very good quarter it has been for stock markets, but we've seen a little bit of profit taking in here today. The markets are quiet for the most part, but slightly down on the day. The Australian stock market, that's the AS 51 index, had a very small downside key, but it was down less than 1%. It was actually not 0.84 of a percent in forming that. More on that in a moment. European stock markets, again, mixed, but mostly slightly easier. There were tiny gains in FTSE and DAX. Now, Wall Street hovered mostly in the minus column, sold off with an hour to go, and recovered a tiny bit of it, but it's down, down, but less than half a percent on average, about half a percent on average across the three indices. And long-dated government bonds prices are slightly steadier here today. The U.S. dollar is easier here today. We had short covering in the euro and also in sterling. We had a good rally in precious metals, although it was paired towards the close. Palladium had hit a high. More on that in a moment. And crude oil. Crude oil hit a new recovery high, got up to 83.85 on the NYMEX sweet crude. Industrial metals, mostly steady, although there were very small declines in copper and zinc. In the grain and bean complex, U.S. prices, we had some big falls here today on some bearish crop news. In other words, supplies increasing and more evidence of that more acreage is going to be planted in the U.S. crop. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, as I said, it's been a very good first quarter, despite a major wobble in January and early February, which turned out to be no more than a reversion to the mean. With the mean, I'm referring to the mean, I'm talking about the 200-day moving average, which is the mean for the medium-term upward trend, the cyclical bull market that we've been enjoying. Now, these stock markets are technically a bit overbought. They've had an awfully good run. We're into the seventh or eighth week, depending on which index you're looking at, in terms of this run. So it would hardly be surprising if we saw a loss of momentum, which we have seen in some of these indices, but we haven't really had anything in the form of downward dynamics, which would indicate that a reaction and that a reaction was actually occurring. As you know, I don't feel that there's a great deal of downside risk at this stage, partly because seasonal factors are still favorable. The charts are underpinned by the prior ranging consolidation that we saw. And we do not have a problem with sharply rising long-dated government bond yields. And there's still plenty of money around, lots of liquidity in the system, in that the tightening has certainly not, to the extent that any tightening has occurred, has been relatively minor. Crude's hit a new high in here, but it's not yet any sort of decisive breakout from its range, so this remains a benign environment generally. We do, well, there isn't anyone listening to this audio who isn't aware of the old adage, sell in May and go away. That would have been expensive last year. Will it be a factor this year? Well, possibly, might lead to some sort of reaction or correction, but this is the last day of March, so let's get there and see. I'm content to hold all of my long positions in my long-term investment portfolio, and fortunately, they've had a very good quarter in here on top of the earlier gains already seen. But what I will say, as I've said before, that if any subscriber is nervous about any of the positions that are similar to what I hold in my portfolio or anything else in here, if you're nervous about them and thinking of taking profits, far better to do it following a period of strength, such as we've just seen. Far better to sell into strength than to get bundled out of your positions when a correction has already occurred. So I've said that before, but it's a point worth repeating. And I've also said that if you're looking to buy, it's best to buy following a reaction or a correction. And going well back into last year, I'd often mention this on the basis that within a cyclical bull market, the best time to buy is when you see a reaction or correction back towards the trend mean represented by that 200-day moving average. So that was the opportunity back in February, although that was the best opportunity that we've seen recently in early February. And now is the time that if one's feeling that markets are a little too high, or feeling that if anyone feels that they'd like to raise some cash, it's far better to do it now rather than during the next correction. I am holding on to my positions for the time being, but every subscriber listening to this audio is hopefully in charge of their own investment strategies based on what they feel is appropriate for themselves, what you feel is appropriate for you. Okay, enough said on that point. Having increased some of my positions recently, I'm again not inclined to add any more, given the strength that we've seen here at this stage. And as tempting as it is to run with some of the momentum plays, the positions that interest me the most here right now, well, I think the single position that interests me the most is the yen short. Although I was stopped out of my Australian dollar long against the yen this morning, I'd put in a in the money stop yesterday when it was doing quite well. I did that because it was up near the higher side of the range, but it was too cautious a policy and got whipped out, and then we saw a decent gain because the yen is quite weak in here. That's the main story in foreign exchange here today. The second story is some short covering that I mentioned in my introduction in sterling and in the euro. But to give you an idea of what we're seeing, you know, with the yen, the dollar is up to 93.45 right now. Now that's not strong enough to convince everybody who's looking at the charts, but it's interesting. I'll put it that way. And happiness in Forex, as I have often said over the years, is having the central bank and the trend on your side. Well, the trend of a weaker yen is just beginning to emerge, and we know for sure that excuse me, that the Japanese Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, would like to see a weaker yen. The whole Japanese government would like to see a weaker yen. So I think those conditions actually apply. I would be reluctant to do anything in long-dated government bonds. Investors who are holding corporate bonds can certainly continue to do so because there's no selling pressure of any consequence evident there. But my own feeling is that investors are overweight in bonds, and they've shunned equities to a certain extent. That is a potential prop or support beneath the stock markets. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see a shift of allocation a little bit away from some of these bonds towards equities. It's certainly going to happen at some point. Is it going to happen sooner or later is the so-called $64,000 question. Now, in terms of precious metals, the steady action that we've seen here today was, well, I would see before I go on to that, I think I was going to mention that key, that small little key on the Australian stock market index. If Australia is weak tomorrow, that will be on the 1st of April. Then that may well signal that a reaction is underway. Conversely, if Australia rallies, then that would suggest to me that the key was too minor to have any impact. Okay, now onto the precious metals. I think this is beginning to look very interesting. First, palladium actually did hit a new recovery high. It could not maintain it, and we saw a small upside failure earlier in the month, and a pullback of must have been at least $20. But we're right back up there once again, and palladium is the leader for this cycle. As you know, I've mentioned before on many occasions that every cycle here on the upside in precious metals has had a leader. The leadership changes. It's been palladium over the last number of months, and therefore it's the one I watch most intensely, although it's not one that I have a position in at this stage. I do have a little bit of silver, and I've got a reasonable amount of gold at this stage. Now, a breakthrough to the upside, a sustained upward break by palladium, and it would be quickly followed by platinum, which is also testing the higher side of the range and still looks good. That would be very bullish for the sector. And I would expect to see additional strength in both gold and silver. Now, gold, as we've mentioned on many occasions, needs to really break above that $1,150 level to convince everyone that all the ranging that we have seen is a gradual build-up of support prior to another up leg. I would still give that scenario the benefit of the doubt at this stage. Did I mention where gold is today? It's at $1,113.5. It has been $5 higher, but that's not a bad performance. That's up almost $10 in here today. Okay, now what else to mention? The weakness of the grain and bean complex. A number of subscribers have said, "Well, should they have agricultural funds?" And this has cropped up from time to time, and people are saying, "Well, should they buy the agricultural commodity ETFs or those Rogers funds?" And I wouldn't want to do it myself, partly because the contangos have proved to be very costly, and I think will continue to be very costly. We do not have trending action there. We have a lot of promotion for agricultural commodities, both from the colorful and interesting Jim Rogers, who is always talking about agricultural commodities. And he's going to be right in here one day, but in the global beauty contest, they don't look all that good to us, except we can say, well, they're cheaper than industrial metals relative to where they were a year or a year to a year and a half ago. But that's not a good reason, in my view. The industrial metals are the ones that are in form for the most part, and I would rather stay with those and the companies that mine them, whereas the agricultural funds, agricultural commodity funds, for the most part, have underperformed. Now, this softness in the grain and bean complex, though, is another problem that could worry stock markets. That is off the table. In other words, food price inflation would be a major worry, and that would pressure central banks into raising interest rates a bit more quickly, as would a spike in the crude oil price. But that's not happening, although, if we do get any commodity inflation pressure that does worry the central banks. Looking at the charts right now on that new recovery high in crude oil today, which is at $83.40, it will happen first in crude oil rather than in the grain and bean complex. And I think that's pretty much it here today. So roll on. April 1st, and hopefully we won't be fooled on too many occasions on that traditional day for tomfoolery. All the best.